Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Everything's funny for some reason. Because I'm here.
Really. And we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting. We're laughing because you said that as it started recording. So we have video proof recorded of you saying, I don't want to mess anything up. And it made us laugh. Oh, no, he's gone.
Oh, gotcha.
He's back.
Good. Okay. He's good. Okay.
We're good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I just got the announcement that my battery's like at 20%, so.
Oh. Are you going to make it through this episode?
Oh. Hopefully.
Okay. Hopefully. Well, if he disappears, we know why. Yes. Sammy, what else do we got?
Real quick, YouTube Shorts, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, follow us there.
Yes, and follow. Check out www.limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Dot com.
Sammy, this is really for you and I. Did you hear that Rafiki's Planet Watch is no longer Rafiki's Planet Watch because they're making it bluey?
I was like, the whole thing going to be bluey? I didn't really look at that. I didn't notice that.
Like, I thought bluey was just joining to like
do a meet and greet. I really did.
Oh, yeah. No. I saw a reel and they're literally like everything Rafiki Lion King is being taken away from Rafiki's Planet Watch. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
For Bluey? I know he's popular, but like he's like a dog. He's not like.
I mean, he's Australian.
But he's like a cartoon dog.
I don't understand.
Strange.
I know. Okay. Stupid Animal Kingdom. I mean, it's okay. Animal Kingdom. Y'all know.
I mean, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So no, I'm sorry for all of you who loved Rafiki's Planet Watch. It is completely gone. I mean, they're still doing like the surgeries and stuff, but it's going to be themed Bluey.
How are you going to do that?
I have no clue. Okay. No clue. Yeah.
Don't understand.
I mean, I know people like Bluey. We can be updated if, you know.
Right? Okay.
Well, let's be real. Two of our besties love Bluey, and I don't understand it.
I know a lot of adults who like Bluey. I don't know really much about it. I just know a lot of adults like it, too.
Ralph has tried to get me to watch it by myself all the time, and I'm like, I'm not watching Bluey. Like, it's not happening.
If you have kids, I guess, but
yeah. Apparently dogs love Bluey because of how the color schemes are. It goes with like their color blindness stuff.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I haven't tested it yet, but according to some other like dog lovers on Instagram, their dogs like will be glued to the TV with Bluey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. That doesn't mean I'm turning it on. Belle will be fine.
Yeah, probably not.
Mm. Not happening. Yeah. But guys, I'm so excited for this month. It's April. Of course.
Yes.
And it is media based on books. Mm-hmm. I love books. Books my favorite.
Clearly.
Books.
I am a book gnome. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited because we have books that were turned into media by Disney or started elsewhere and came to Disney. So I'm super excited to talk this month. So we are doing Lightning Thief and Sea of Monsters, which is in the Percy Jackson realm. And then we are doing the first three of Narnia, which is Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, and Dawn Treader. Dawn of the Treader? Treader of the Dawn?
Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Voyage of the Dawn Treader. There we go.
Sorry. That one. It's a combination.
That thing.
Somewhere. I had the words right, just not the right combo. Today, super excited we are talking about... Yes. Yeah. Super excited we're talking about Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. And we are talking about the book, the movie, and the TV series. So I tried to make it concise as possible so I didn't go for like hours on end. So here we go. The book was written by Rick Riordan and it was published in 2005 by Harry Purian. So it just hit its 20-year mark last year in October. Wow. So super, super exciting for that because that's when the first, or no, came out in 2005? I don't know. I think the show came out on the 20th anniversary. So that was cool. If you don't know what The Lightning Thief is about, it's about Percy Jackson, who's a 12-year-old boy who discovers he is a demigod, the son of Poseidon, the Greek god of the sea. And after being accused of stealing Zeus's lightning bolt, Percy must travel across the United States with Annabeth Chase and Grover Underwood to find the bolt and prevent a war among the gods. Along the way, they encounter monsters, mythological challenges, and at the end, Percy discovers that Luke, and there's a lot of spoilers in this episode, so if you've never watched, go away. Luke Castellan or whatever his last name is, was the real thief working for the Titan Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you know nothing about Greek mythology, you're going to be really confused. I'll try to explain as I go. Mm-hmm. So the main characters, again, Percy, Annabeth Grover, Luke, Percy's mom, Sally, Chiron, who is a... centaur, which is half man, half horse. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. D, or the, that's his nickname in the book, but his real name is Dionysus, who is the god of wine and spirits and fun. It's really funny in the book because Zeus And it's throughout all of the stuff, but Zeus got mad at Dionysus because it's his son, and he punishes him to go take, like, be in charge of the camp, and he cannot drink any spirits of any sort. If he grabs one, it turns him into
Shadow,
which is horrible for Dionysus because he's so literally the god of
Greeks. Really knew how to punish each other, man.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that was never, like, something in actual Greek mythology. This is something that Rick created for his book, which I was very proud of him for.
Yeah. It's still on point, though. Like, it's on brand with Zeus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is. He has punished some people in some very interesting and gruesome ways. Mm-hmm. That they talk about throughout the books. That's what I love about Rick Riordan's books is he takes modern day things and mixes it with the actual mythology of Greek. Like he doesn't change any of the actual mythology stories, characters, anything. And it's beautiful. It's I love it. I absolutely love it. So I figured for us to understand why the movie and the show are like the show's a little bit closer, but the difference is to understand like the major plot points from the book itself, because the book is the original. Mm-hmm. And any book lover knows the original is canon. It is what you go off of. I wish Hollywood would understand that. But anyways, I digress. Percy Jackson, first off, at the very beginning of the book, is attacked by his teacher, Mrs. Dobbs. She's a substitute teacher, who turns out to be a fury. A fury is a winged, devil-like creature that you don't want to come across, revealing monsters are real. Hello, monsters are real. Percy learns that his best friend Grover and his other teacher, Chiron, are other creatures, and he is a demigod, the son of Poseidon. They reveal this to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's then taken to Camp Half-Blood, a training camp for demigods, where he meets Annabeth Chase. He also meets Luke and a bunch of other people. And while he's there, he finds out that the reason these monsters are after him is because Zeus's lightning bolt is stolen. His main weapon has been stolen. Mm-hmm. And Percy is the main suspect, because in the lore of Rick Riordan is... In the modern times, Zeus, Hades, and Poseidon, who are the major three gods in Greek mythology, made a pact that they were no longer going to have children because their demigods, their sons or daughters, are always the most powerful of the demigods, always creating some sort of chaos or saving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all three of them broke it in one way or another, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, Zeus can never keep it in his pants if you know Greek mythology. So because right now Percy is the only known big three demigod in the series at the moment. So everyone thinks, oh, Poseidon had him so he could steal the thunderbolt and start a war and take over Olympus. Because in the Greek gods' minds, in this book and just in Greek mythology in general, they always think they're trying to usurp each other. So that's why they think Percy is the lightning thief. So Percy, Annabeth, and Grover are sent on a quest to find the bolt and to prevent the war of the gods, and also to save his mother, because his mother got captured by Hades before a Minotaur killed her. So that was fun. So they travel across the U.S., encounter monsters like Medusa and others, and I'll talk about the others in a little bit. They also get trapped in a casino where time passes very quickly. And it almost ruins their quest. They only have like 48 hours when they were having like 2 weeks left. So that was fun. So they confront Hades, discovered he did not steal the bolt. Someone else stole his helm. So each of them have their like icon. And Zeus's is the lightning bolt. Poseidon's is his trident. And Hades is this like helm that he wears. It's a helmet. And someone stole that too. He ends up finding the bolt in his shield. Like it was in his shield, finds the bolt in the shield. So it was with him this whole time, and he returns it to Olympus. And then after he returns it to Olympus, stopping the war from happening, Percy learns that Luke, his friend from camp, actually was the real thief all along, working for the Titan Cronus, setting up a larger conflict of the series. If you are a listener, you don't know who Titan Cronus is. If you look in Greek mythology, you have Mother Gaia and Father, oh gosh, is it Uranus or Orus? I don't know. The sky and the earth.
Osiris.
They are like the yes, thank you. They are the like creative god. Like they created everything. They are the gods who created everything in the world. And they had sons and daughters, which were known as the Titans. The Titans had sons and daughters, which were known as the gods. It's like tiered. And Cronus apparently was a very, very bad Titan. He was afraid of his children usurping him. So he ate them. And his mom, his wife saved Zeus and like tricked him into eating rocks. I don't know how she was able to convince him that the baby were rocks. I don't know. And then Zeus grew up and then killed his father and saved the children that were still alive in his belly, which is again, just weird. So then they threw Titan into what they call, what their hell was called, which was Tartarus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's very, very quick Greek mythology mm-hmm. lesson for my non-Greek mythology people.
Mm-hmm. Crash course.
So that's the book we're crash course. That's the book we're coming from. Now, in 2010, they decided to make a movie. 5 years later, they decided to make a movie because, I mean, mm-hmm. Percy Jackson was blowing up. By 2010, I want to say either most or all of the first series was out. There's like 5 books in each kind of section of mm-hmm. the story of Percy Jackson. So the first 5, I think, were out at that point or almost done. So they wanted to make a movie because, you know, mm-hmm. that's what Hollywood does. So same premise for the movie. He has to find the lightning bolt, blah, blah, blah. The main cast of it is Logan Learman. What else has he been in? He was in Wallflower, Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Ah, yes.
Alexandra, oh, dear Lord, Daddario. I think that's what you say. She was in I Am 4. Brandon T. Jackson. I don't know what else he's been in. He was Grover. We lost Dan. I think he's gone.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Jack Abel was Luke. Pierce Bronson was Chiron. So that was interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Sean Bean was Zeus.
So Logan is clearly not 12.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yep.
Because you said that at the beginning, I was like, 12. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Some behind the scene things with the movie. It was directed by Chris Columbus, who also directed the first 2 Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. They did make the teenagers seem older, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Rick Riordan was not involved in the movie's production at all. He was not heavily involved mm-hmm. at all, so hence the issues. Mm-hmm. Filmed in Vancouver, and the movie made over $200 million worldwide, but the fans criticized it for not following the book. Like, at all. At all.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are finally fixing that mistake.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And we got Disney Plus series, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Season 1 is mm-hmm. The Lightning Thief. Super happy about this. So, again, same summary. Not going to give it to you again. Same summary as the book.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The cast for Percy Jackson is Walker Scobell is Percy. Mm-hmm. And he's perfect for Percy. Like, he's done so good. I'm so proud of him. Mm-hmm. Leah Sava Jeffries is Annabeth. And I think this is, like, all their first roles, like, big roles. So, I don't think you're going to know any of these kids. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he's back. Okay. I didn't know if we were
I'm here. My phone is like really hot, so it had to stop because it wouldn't let me use it until it cooled down a little bit. So if that happens again, I may be like at the capacity of like heat. So.
Gotcha. Okay. We're just going through the cast. We already went through the cast of the movie. Now we're going through the cast of the series. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I'm not going to say his name right. I'm so sorry. Is it Aaron? Aaron? It's might be Aaron.
I assume Aaron.
I think Aaron. Simhadri, yeah. Who's Grover. Charlie Bushnell, who's Luke. Virginia Cole, who plays Sally, Percy's mom. Glenn Turman, who plays Chiron. And Jason. I can never say his last name right. Mm. Mantokas? He's the crazy guy in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm. No,
I who's didn't. In love with did you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Nope.
Oh, that's so sad. I love him. He's crazy. Okay. He was also in another show, and I can't remember what that show was. But anyways, he's great. He's Mr. D. So some behind the scenes on this one. So unlike the movie, Rick Riordan is heavily involved in the writing and producing of this series, including casting. Thank you so much, Rick Riordan. It premiered in 2023. That's right. Second season came out in 25. The actors matched the book's age much better. The production used large virtual sets and special effects to create the mythological creatures. And then it was renewed for a second season, hence why we're talking about it next week. So that's kind of that overview. Let's get into the differences. Lots of differences. So in the book, Percy is 12. He's literally in middle school. What did the movie do? They aged him to 16. And also, Percy is like this blonde, curly-haired, like scrawny boy. Luke Learman is not that.
No.
This is one thing, and I've said this over and over again when we talk about like movie adaptions of books. If they give you a description of the character, you need to follow that description if you are wanting it to be like a remake of the book. You are trying to make this the look like the book.
Right.
Use the descriptions that they give you. Now, the TV series still didn't do that on some characters, and it's fine because they did well as the like as the attitude, but I'm just like, why? But I digress. So Percy, they make him 16 in the movie. Also, like one of the biggest things, and it's all over the books because Percy can't apparently get over this fact. Annabeth is blonde.
Oh.
She is a Caucasian blonde girl. And he talks about how much he loves her blonde hair. And just, it's all, like, it's just a thing. Do they do that in the movie? Do they do that in the series? No. Now, again, I'm not saying that Alexandria or, oh, shoot, what's her name? Leah are horrible as Annabeth. No, both of them actually did really well with who Annabeth is. I think Annabeth portrayals in both movie and series are probably the best portrayals, in my opinion, of who Annabeth is. But for crying out loud, people, it literally tells you what they're supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Because it actually has something to do with his inner thoughts. So, but honestly, Leia is probably my favorite when it comes to portraying Annabeth. She's great. I love her. Grover doesn't have much description other than he is a whatchamacallit. He's half goat. He's Phil. What is Phil? Who's Phil from Hercules?
What's the term?
Goat feet and a horn. What is Phil from Hercules? Satyr. Good gravy. He's a satyr. So Grover is a satyr. Everyone else doesn't really have much description. Really, it's just Annabeth and Percy that we really know very details about who they are. But anyways, I digress. Tone of the stories are different in the movie and the series. So the book really focuses on discovering their powers, discovering friendship, discovering who they are as they're middle schoolers. Identity is a huge part of any middle grades and young adult books. Identity is huge. Whereas in the movie, they made it more a romantic tone than with an identity tone, which really was sad for me because these books, I think, are, if you read them as a middle schooler, this could be an integral part of helping you kind of learn that it is okay no matter how you're made. And they took that away in the movie. The series, though, goes back to it, which makes me very happy. Very similar tone, very much emphasizing growth and friendship and figuring out who they are. I can't wait to talk about season two because, again, spoilers, Annabeth and Percy end up together in the book series. It doesn't happen until, like, the very last book. But you, throughout the books, you kind of see them kind of like, oh, I think I like them. I think they're cute or the, and they have a little bit of that energy in the second season. Yeah. And I'm like, I love it. I love watching. It's so cute.
Hey, just a heads up, my battery's at 10%. So just giving you a thumb out there. If I disappear, then that's why.
Okay. The reason for the quest is like broadly the reason for the quest that the camp wants them to go on this quest is because of the Thunderbolt or the Lightning Bolt, not Thunderbolt. I'm still in Marvel. Lightning Bolt. But the real reason Percy decides to agree to do this, because he at first he's like, I'm not going. I'm not doing this. It is not my fight. But when they find out that Sally was taken by Hades and Hades might be the one who has the Lightning Bolt, he's like, all right, I'll do it. So they all think, oh, he'll do it to get the Lightning Bolt. No, he's doing it to save his mom. Like, it is all about his mother. In all three movies, it is all about getting his mother back. So they kind of kept that the same, which made me happy. The quest itself, they changed it in the movie. So the Percy, Annabeth, and Grover are just traveling across the United States in the book to get to the entrance of Hades. You guys want to guess where the entrance of Hades is? You probably know because you watched it.
Yeah, if it's the same as it is in the movie.
It is.
Yeah,
it's Hollywood. I love it.
Hollywood.
It's in the Hollywood scene. It's over in California. Hades is in California. Hell is in California. It made me laugh.
And he's living like a rock star. Seems right.
He is. It was beautiful. And he's a rock star. He looks like a rock star in the book. So they did really well in the movie. The movie portrayal of Hades to me is closer to the books than the series portrayal, which I found funny. But they're trying to get to Hollywood so they can get into Hades. In the movie, they added an element where they had to find these pearls to escape. That wasn't a part of the book at all. Like, the pearls were just given to him by his father at the end, of, like, before they go into Hades or into, oh, gosh. Yeah, before they go into, it's called Hades, isn't it? No? Yeah? Before they go see Hades.
Okay.
His father gives it to them, and they do that in the series. But the monsters they encounter during this time are very different. So the original monsters that like they see in the book is Electo, who we do see across all three times. Electo is the Fury, Mrs. Dobbs. The Minotaur, we see the Minotaur every single time because that's the monster that chases them. In the book, he also faces Furies on a bus, which also happens in the and he's gone in the series. We got I can never say her name right. Echidna, who is the mother of all monsters, and the Chimera. Hephaestus's mechanical spiders are in the book. So they changed Hephaestus in the series because I think just mechanics of it, because you couldn't really, I don't think they knew how to do a big spider. So they changed the trap. Procrustes, who is Krusty, we see him in the book and the series. And then Cerberus, we get to see Cerberus in the series, the actual three-headed dog. He was so cute. And then a Greek scorpion that's like monster-ish. So we have this huge list of monsters. And they took most of them out in this in the movie.
We
only have Electo, the Minotaur, Medusa are like the three main ones. And then they add in the Hydra, which was not in the book at all. Hydra, you really, if you want to connect it to Disney, you only see him in Hercules. So they grabbed him from Hercules. And then Creatures of Hades, it was like the little hellhounds. They weren't even Cerberus, which is stupid. And Luke. Yeah, Luke is the enemy. We know this. Because Luke betrays him. And that is the big like ending. So that's the ending's very different. So I'm going to skip Luke's betrayal because I want to talk about the ending after the rest of this. I'm going to skip the gods too, because there's not much difference with the gods. And then I want to talk about Gabe, Percy's stepfather, I guess.
Right.
In the book, he's actually very abusive, like really, really bad. Bad, bad guy. And what actually happens with Medusa's head is he sends it to his mother to make Gabe a statue. And she does it.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Nice. So Medusa's head actually turns Gabe into a statue because he bad, bad man. And they lightened him up in not only the movie, but also the book or the series, which kind of makes me mad. I'm like, you can portray a bad, abusive relationship. It's not something we should just steer away from. Like, and honestly, I think seeing Gabe turn into a stone on TV would have been great.
Yeah.
Been very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas in the movie and in the show, he was just a lazy jerk. And he wasn't, he was more like maybe verbally abusive than he was physically, whereas he was more physically in the book.
Okay.
Yeah. So faithfulness wise, like on a scale of 1 to 10, the movie was like a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the series is more like a 6 or 7.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. But the endings, each of them had a very different ending. So the book, the original ending is he finds the bolt, he takes it back to Zeus, he goes back to camp, and then not knowing Luke is bad at this point, Luke like kind of starts talking to him, and then he kind of figures it out in the conversation, and Luke's like, I wouldn't come near me because here's a scorpion that just came out and he's going to kill you. And he tries to kill Percy with a scorpion. And there was a huge fight, and then he gets away and blah, blah, blah. Scorpion gets killed. It's fine. Movie, Luke confronts him at the front door of the Empire State Building and says, no, we're going to fight. And they have this whole aerial fight and water and blah. That doesn't happen. It's really cool, but it doesn't happen. And then in the series, it's a little bit closer to the book. The difference is there's no scorpion, and they have a sword fight before he takes off. Because Luke's sword, and this happens in the book, Luke has a sword where he can, like, slash the air, and it's like a portal.
Oh.
So he slashed the air, and he portals away.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But, yeah, so all in all, if you're going to watch media for the books, do the series, not the movie.
Okay.
If you watch the movie, it's just look at it as its whole own thing. Like, if you've never read the books, you're fine. You can watch the movie and love it. But if you've read the books and don't want to be angry, ignore the movie.
Yeah.
I went in totally blind. Yeah, I went in totally blind with this thing, and I enjoyed the movie, so.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, I liked the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think of just, like, the premise of how they integrated Greek mythology into, like, a modern-day story?
I love it. I love when they can modernize ancient beings and make them relatable to modern day things. Like, yeah, that's exactly how Zeus would look in a modern day. That's how Hades would look. Or I love that Uma Thurman was Medusa, you know? Anytime you can do that with like ancient literature and folklore and lore and stuff and like put it into things that like, yeah, that's how it would look in today's world. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as like obsessed with Greek mythology. So, you know, I'm like on the basic level, but I could follow it very easily. You know, it was very easy to understand who each character was and all of that. So I think it was well done as far as tying it in.
Yeah. I think it was a great introduction to like this world that Rick Riordan is going to build, because as you go through the books, and you're going to see it in the second movie, if you haven't watched it yet, he's going to pull in actual like Greek mythology tales. Like next season or next movie is very much the Odyssey. It's very much like we are going through Odysseus's journey with a 12-year-old. Actually, he's 13 in this one. So it's a lot of fun. Like, and just the chapter titles in the book are hilarious. Hold on. Let me. Chapter 1, I accidentally vaporized my pre-algebra teacher. Like, he wrote this book like he was Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. There was another one. Where's the Minotaur one? My mother teaches me bullfighting. Yeah. That's when the Minotaur chases them.
Okay.
Let's see here. We get advice from a poodle. I don't remember what that one's from. But a god buys us cheeseburgers. That's when they see Ares.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. There was another one that just made me cackle when it came up. It might be in a different book. But just like the... We take a zebra to Vegas.
Okay.
It's just, it's funny. Who was Hermes? Nathan Fillion is Hermes in the movie, right? Or was that the second movie?
I don't think Nathan Fillion. I did not see Nathan Fillion in the
first one. I think
Nathan Fillion is in one of the movies. Hold on. Okay. Which Percy movie is Nathan in? Dang it. If I ruined that for you, I'm going to be very sad.
Pretty sure you just
I ruined it for you.
Like, I don't remember him.
I thought he was in both of them. Crud. Oh, Dylan Neal was Hermes. He was like 2 seconds in the first movie. I'm sorry. I ruined that for you. Nathan Fillion is in the second movie.
Okay, so now we know.
Yeah, there we go.
Now we know.
He's Hermes, which is great. If you watch the series, Lin-Manuel is Hermes later on in the series.
Okay.
I saw that in the little thing I watched about the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Cast of Percy TV series. There are some big names, like, or very familiar names in the series, which is great. Hold on. Let me pull this up. That's one thing I didn't think about doing is bringing up the cast list. Why can I not? Whenever I go into this, here we go. They keep moving things around in IMDb and it's ticking me off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Where is it? Where are all the people? Where are all the people? I don't care about the demigods. Megan Mullally, who is in Will and Grace as like the vapid one. She plays Electo / Mrs. Dobbs. Okay. Lin-Manuel is Hermes. What's her face is the mother of all, monsters. What's her name? They're just, if you watch the series and like you saw some of these faces come up, you're like, wait, I know that face from somewhere. It's just, there's a lot of like actors and actresses that you're like, oh, I know them. Mm-hmm. And there's some big ones, bigger names that I feel like in the next season. Like we got Timothy Omunson who comes in to season 2. Susan Cryer. She was the mother of all dragons. She was in a couple things I watched.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago. But yeah, there's just a lot of faces you'll see. And you're like, oh, I know that face from somewhere. Where do I know that face?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they're doing very good at casting and very well at what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And Walker, I really truly believe Walker Scobell, who is playing Percy, is probably going to be one of those new like teen heartthrobs here soon because he's starting to grow up. And he's turning in. He was adorable in the first season, and you can tell he's grown up in between seasons, and he's starting to turn into like that. Who's almost like a Chad Michael Murray transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, you're going to be one of those heartthrobs.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel old though because he was born in 2009.
Oh
yeah, I know. I'm like, oh dear lord,
I don't like that.
Pretty much all my middle schoolers, like I'm like preparing myself. I'm like, okay, who are my middle schoolers gonna start talking about? Yep, he's probably gonna be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he was in the Adam Project from a couple years ago. Did you guys ever watch that?
No.
That was with Ryan Reynolds?
No.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
I didn't either.
But no idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's great how they're looking at. I love that Rick Riordan is heavily involved in the series. Like, I'm so happy because I think that's what needs to happen. The thing with Rick, though, is he is, even though there's a lot of us who are like, stick to the script, stick to the book. Rick is actually okay with redefining his universe. He's like, it's been 20 years. We can change some things up. We don't have to go, like, he's fine with us not following the what the characters look like and all the different things. And I'm like, okay, Rick, if you're okay with it, you're the creator. I'll breathe. It's his thing. I will let that go. Whereas I just saw one of my favorite authors for the Throne of Glass series. Her name is Sarah J. Maas. She, if you guys have heard of the ACOTAR series, that's her. I'm not a fan of ACOTAR, but I love her other stuff. And she went on Call Me Daddy podcast a couple days ago. And she was talking about she just got her rights back for they were going to start doing a show for one of her series. And she just got the rights back from them because she's like, I'm not, like, if you're going to do this, I'm going to be heavily involved and nothing's changing. Like, these characters are this way for a reason. I'm like, yes, Sarah, yes. Like, I'm on the same page. She's our age. She's born in 86. She wrote her first series at the age of 16. That's when she first wrote it, scrapped it, started over, but she got it published when she was like 20 or 21 or something. Like, it came out in 2011. Older than 21, in her 20s. She was in her 20s. So I love her. She's like my favorite, but so Rick comes across as very differently than some authors. It depends on the author.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add about the movie that you watched?
Not really. No, I was pleasantly happy and surprised, not surprised, but you know, yeah, I enjoyed it. Rather enjoyed it.
Yeah. A lot of action. So, you know, it was fun. Nice.
Very nice. All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed learning the differences between the book and the movie and the show. I was so excited to analyze everything. So this is my favorite. Next week, we are talking Sea of Monsters. We're not going past that because we don't have anything past that yet. Third season is being made right now, which I'm super excited about. So we'll do that. And then I'm excited to get into Narnia because I'll have a little bit more banter with Dan because Dan knows them as much. I feel like I'm just like teaching you guys. I feel like I'm a teacher teaching you about Percy Jackson.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. He froze. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad. It's all right. His battery's about to die.
It is, yeah.
Thank you so much, Pixie Dusters. You guys have a great week. And we'll see you next week for Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.